Okay, hey, welcome to another Dose of Truth. We have a new guest today, and she's one of the guests. She is over by name, Mickey Jacobs. She's from Israel, that's correct, Mickey?
Yes, indeed.
And Mickey called me, and one of those things, and you know, I don't answer our office phone. Actually, I need to listen to who does the messages. I don't know if I can fix the phone, but I fix that. But anyway, I don't answer my phone, and I answer it one day, and here's Mickey. And she says she's a medium, what else?
Spiritual teacher.
Spiritual teacher, and... So, next to our person, our person is a very high test. And she comes for phone calls. So, next is on the show. And we're going to see if Nicky wants to be a librarian, maybe, if you hear, after you hear from today. If you decide you want to write in questions, then we'll tell you the person can write it, either her, email, or ours. And she can answer, but I'm not going to call in just yet. So, with all that, we get that out of the way, and let's just start talking to Nicky. And Nicky, describe just what exactly it is you do with your angels and all this. Exactly what it is.
Well, thanks, Margaret. First of all, obviously, for inviting me on the show. It's truly an honor.
Oh, you're welcome, Margaret.
I am a medium, which is the obvious of connecting people to the spiritual, to the departed loved ones, and more so to the, I call them our divine helper, divine team, since we each have spirit guides and archangels and guardian angels, and of course our loved ones, of course, over. And lately, I would say the last maybe year or so, I'm kind of on a mission to transfer the message from the spirit world to human beings and tell them that they are not alone. I find that in my readings, unfortunately, the most common thing is that it's come across how lonely we all are, including myself. I mean, there's no shortcut to religion, it's just to be the hard work twice. And then that's how it came about. And my guys, my archangels, and the doctor, why don't you go to radio and media and seminars and workshops, and of course through the reading, and just transfer the world that no one is alone. And I think we are running around kind of lost in a really harsh planet Earth nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I like to talk about who they are, because they each have their own kind of
past,
kind of, you know, what it is they have to see, and I just kind of like to talk about it. The other thing that's important to me to convey is that what I do came later in life.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go with that gift. I mean, I believe we all have that power within us, if we just, you know, extremely powerful being created by God. But this is something that I kind of gained later in life. I taught myself how to meditate, how to calm myself, how to connect with our vibrations. I always felt extreme love to the angelical realm, and I just kind of started calling them. And soon enough, I was just talking to Archangel Michael and started receiving messages from him.
Okay, so what did you study? About what age did this come to you?
Probably about in my 30s. I start taking meditation really seriously, since, of course, it's the base for any. We just need to quiet the physical mind, they just go on and on and on. And so it takes a lot of practice, a lot of dedication, and it's something that we want to do. I mean, this isn't something that everyone wants to do. So I have extreme respect to the spirit world. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful love that they give us and support. And over the years, it just got stronger and stronger. And now I'm a clear audience, which I'm able to hear the spirit world and tune in to see their own guides and archangels.
Okay, clarify the spirit world, because you came from Israel.
Yeah.
And did you have another job there?
I was in the army. You have to. I mean, this is not something you choose when you're 18, you go to the army. And back then I was married, and then after I traveled, once we finished the army, we go all over the world. And then I arrived to California, and I just loved it. The weather is similar. And then I actually opened my own business. I had a pretty large glazing company, which is a commercial glass company, for 18 years. So I did my spirituality, my meditation, kind of suddenly frozen in the power time, and of course kept walking and expanding my energy. And then the company closed down in 2007. Just unfortunately didn't make it after all those years. And now, looking back, I know that it's meant to be, and I just thought doing the full time job.
And people just started coming to you, and you're in a San Diego, right?
I went about 45 minutes north of San Diego. So I'm here to Macula, but usually people are more familiar with my own town, which is in Marietta. But it's kind of 45 minutes away from San Diego. So I have people coming into meeting, and I try to go on talk shows and just kind of spread the word around. And it's the main reason in my work. When readings are done, people's lives are just transformed. They realize they're not alone. They realize all the love that people, that those spirits have for them. And so I consider it an incredible gift, and I'm very blessed.
I think so. Okay, so we're doing this list. So then if you stop doing the rest of the job, and you're meditating, and you're really doing it, and then all of a sudden, what? Somebody starts talking to you, so I'm sure.
It was as simple as that. I was always was drawn to Archangel Michael. Of course, later, years later, I realized that Archangel Michael is one of my archangels that assigned to me. And so I just called on him and called on him and learned and studied about angelic curriculum and meditate. And it's just as simple as that. He started giving me messages. So I had about, I would say about 62 messages from Archangel Michael about various things in our lives and about all kinds of various issues. And eventually, once I get a little more free time, I hopefully put it on a book and just let people read the wonderful, wonderful messages. But and then through the Archangel, I connected to others. And fairly recently, within a year or two, is that I began talking to departed loved ones. So it's come to me as gradually, just with the archangels and the spirit angels and then nature angels and then the people's loved ones, of course, also.
Now you know, because that tablet could be the Michael, the angel, and for the British angel, but I'm believing life after death. Both religions, like, you know, with the mind is good to work with, and you need to talk to the dead, right? So how do you handle that? How do you handle religious people?
Well, you know, of course, I grew up Jewish, and I grew up in an, I wouldn't say extremely Orthodox family, but my dad still very much practiced the Shabbat, and my mom's a little less, but they really, I mean, I grew up in a Jewish family, and the problem I had with that, Margaret, is there was no answered questions. And I didn't like the judgmental that religious have, not necessarily Judaism, or kind of unfortunate Judaism in any way.
Catholicism as well, I mean, because if you go to the Catholic Church, who, by the way, took me to my first meeting, a month in, and observed the departments and, you know, all the spiritual things. The Catholic Church and Judaism will tell you you're dealing with demonic things, you know, which is laughable to me, but I wonder why your family took it.
Well, the thought behind that is when I meet religious people that finally do tell me the spirituality and come and see you, is that you seek God and you go to the angels. Or you go to the guides, is that I hear that all the time from religious people, and I tell them they are God, that those are His messengers, those they were created by Him to assist us, of course. But this is something that comes said with a lot of people that grew up religion. And the main thing I wanted to say with this about religion is that I don't think when you cross over, as a matter of fact, I know for a fact that when you cross over, Jews don't go to the right and Christians go to the left. We all go to one place and depend how spiritual advance we depend here, and that's where we're going to go. But religious is something that we decide, our soul decides it was pre-plan in order to grow. So one decides to be Christian, one Jewish, one time is black, one time is white, one time is female, one time is male, it's just the way it is. So in a way, it's a bit of a divider. However, I have a great respect for the religion of all kinds. For example, the Judaism is a wonderful family religion. So I enjoy that, and of course, you know, I call my parents, which is out in Israel, and I enjoy that as a holiday, but I kind of take the good out of religion and leave the one that I know now not to be the spiritual food.
Yeah, and I agree with that, obviously, they are selfish. And then you see, I said, everything, you talk to Michael, the archangel. This is a very powerful kind of thing, you know, and it's all about Michael, the archangel, and having to do with us, you know.
Actually, he's quite honored. He is here in my healing room in my house, so he's quite honored that he mentioned his name. Archangel Michael loves human beings very much and takes his job very seriously, protecting us and helping us. And so they love us so much, Margaret. And that's what it said to me, that religion don't let that, don't let people expose to that. And of course, I find out that a lot of religious speaks, including my own father, unfortunately, that he is afraid of the Creator. If he's not going to fast in this holiday, if he's going to drive in this, which is quite a shame, because of course the Creator is unjudgmental, it's a source of love and mercy, and he let us grow in our own time. So that's the thing that I have. But spirituality is something that takes time to reach, and sometimes if you grow up religious, it's rooted in you very, very deeply. So this is not something you want to force anyone, and you just kind of wait, and people come and ask you, then you answer them. If no, you respect the religious, and you just go on your own way.
And it's very articulate about it. When you're always articulate about the search world, so they teach you all these things.
They do teach me, and a lot of times, because my English is a bit
lively,
they kind of help me kind of find the right words. So it's quite fascinating that in reading interviews or seminars, they kind of walk through me. So they're quite happy to get their message across, which of course I'm honored to do that for the spirit world. So it's quite incredible. I'm very blessed, as I said before.
It's a very soft option. I don't think it's very soft. Are you open? You seem meek and mild and soft, and you're very subservient to the spiritual world.
I do. Of course, I have my up and down, like every human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that people ask me, do they tell me exactly what to do? And of course, they do not allow to tell us what to do, because the free will is for us to decide. That's how we grow.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot be connected the way like a lion and be chaotic. So you have kind of like the demeanor that you are taking care of, and of course they always talk about you and guide me. Okay, I'm up and down, and of course I'm married, which is a, you know, it's a world like everyone else, but I'm very blessed that I was able to reach my dharma, meaning I came to do that, and I could have missed it. I didn't do the work I do, I could have missed that. And I'm happy to say that I was struggling enough and kept in the path, and that is what I'm doing now. So,
how are you talking to your husband about it?
My husband thought it's a bit weird.
Walking to the class. My husband had talked about it. I'm a little. But he knows that the second one didn't. The first one was like, okay. And then I had one friend after that who thought, oh, brother. And it's really hard to be with someone who doesn't understand, isn't it?
It does. If there's no a minimum amount of spirituality to bond the couple, that's a problem, I found out to be. It doesn't have to be. Of course, I like to tell people that we come here alone and we live alone. We are our own souls, so even if we have husband and children, we are still the one that has to do our own work. But we have to have that basic belief. So, which we do, Clayton and I, we met, both things are very lovely, but again, this is very difficult planet, and I still have my lessons to learn, but there are no shortcuts being in a game. But it's just easier, everything seems to be easier.
How old are your children?
I do not have children, I have 16 animals.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I rescue draft horses. We bring them from Canada because they are ready to be killed.
What's this?
A draft. You know those big flight tail horses? So we have five acres, and we rescue them, and we just... So people know me, and they bring animals to me, and they know I say yes, but...
You have a big family out there in November. Well, she's passed with a piece of her, who was close to the animals, and that was a thing, fantastic. So, okay, the meeting, when we found the best way to go into that pond, and it's always what I had to do, there was something surprised on the uniform, and we were great surprised. So, people said, listen, she can use it, well, Mr. can use it, boom, just like that, right? You don't need to, you don't need a walker, ringer, whatever.
And then, it's funny, a lot of people ask me, do you have power people on your tool? But I don't need it because they talk to me.
Do you do it over the phone?
I do that over the phone. I do reading, I just speak, and do one account down answer. So it's quite convenient. There's no reason for me to come to my home and go through the coding. To me, it's the same thing. People say that they like to come here because they kind of sponge the energy and kind of calm them down a bit. But phone reading is a wonderful tool, of course, if you see too far away or even outside of the country, as you say. So that's the...
Do you have a... I want to ask you what they want to ask today. Do you have a website where people can get a hold of you or a phone number?
I have a website, which is the www, and it is my name, Mickey, M-I-K-I, Jacob, J-A-C-O-B-S, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And I have information about what I do in the spiritual reading, and I do some energy reading as well, so some people get both combinations to kind of heal the body, as well as the mental, and so all the information is there, and it's really self-explanatory, so...
Can you do healing over the phone as well?
I do healing over the phone. It's all energy, Margaret. So when people ask how come, I say because it's all energy, and of course my intention, and then my spirit guide, and Archangel Raphael in specific, which he is the healing Archangel, they taught me a kind of a unique technique. So I can recognize the problem in the physical body, and I rock the organs and twice. And that's actually quite powerful. So if you have a headache, I would actually see the brain kind of really beautiful white and healing energy, or if people have stomach ache or whatnot. So I do energy healing as well, so that kind of goes together and just to make people's life better.
Let me ask you something, just okay, so now we're going to do a reading so people can see what it is. Is there something that, you know, you're coming out today, is there something that opened to Michael, because he is your angel, he's not everybody's angel, right? Michael is your angel, he doesn't touch everybody, he doesn't come around everybody, he's not everybody's angel.
He's not everyone assigned archangel, we all have two assigned archangel, and he happened to be assigned to me. Many, many lives. So me and him, we all together hundreds of lives when I'm incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
Archangel Michael can be called upon. Once you call his name, he immediately appears to your right. So I teach people to call on him every morning, Margaret. Actually call on the four archangels. We can get into that a little bit more if you like. But in specific, Archangel Michael is a very powerful archangel, and he helps us with the fear. So fear is so dominant in our life, unfortunately, he will appear to your right, to our right, and he will soothe our energy. So Archangel Michael is extremely honored to be called by humans, so you don't have to have him as your own assigned archangel.
So if he is your assigned archangel, is it different? What more comes with him? He's your archangel. So what does that mean? Supposed to be everybody's archangel?
A little more time with me. Archangels, as opposed to the guardian angels and the rest of the angels, they can be with a lot of people at one time. They are able to leave their energy and spread it around. The guardian angels, as opposed to the archangel, they never leave you. They're always there, never ever leave. So that archangels are above the angels, which is the guardian angel, nature angels. They're kind of the one that you can counter with these people will be called out and it's the angels what to do. So they're a little bit higher of the angels. So archangels, each one of them has his own main help. For example, as I mentioned, Archangel Michael and Fear, Archangel Gabriel, which stands to our left, he is the strength angel and the fairness. So if you encounter in your life that you have to go maybe through cold and losses or anything that has to do with that, you call on him and he will guide you towards the best positive resolution. So each one has their own teams that they kind of help us. They all of course protect us. Archangel Raphael is the healing angel. He stands behind us. So if we are not well from a very simple discomfort to unfortunately a serious illness, you call on him, he appears towards the back of us, and he is the emerald green energy, so he kind of tries to wrap your body and your organ. So, and in front of us is Archangel Uriel. He's the Archangel of Hope. So if you have days that you're depressed and you're upset and you see no hope, hopeless, then you call on him. So I mainly work on the four archangels, which work at the main four, right, left, behind, and in front of you. Of course, there are thousands and thousands of archangels, but I found that those four are the most influential in human life. So when people come to reading, I transfer the spirit guide kind of guidance, and then the archangel will come in, and they tell them what, you know, what it is they need to change, if any. And then, of course, it's about the loved ones. So it's very organized, and it's quite amazing, Margaret, that they each give respect to the other group. Mm-hmm. I'm always amazed how lovely and how organized the spirit world is.
Yeah, boy, you sound like one of them.
Wow.
He's like, oh, yes, like, okay, I'm in heaven right now. This is like, you know, like, lying on you. And so, but I didn't have anything for me. So, like, if all of a sudden someone were to call and go, like, I don't call because I'm just a speaker tonight, they can call me on Blog Talk. We're going to have you on Blog Talk this Wednesday. It's 3 o'clock our time because we're both in California and 6 o'clock New York time. And we'll give you that number and people you can call in. You have to register blogtalkradio.com and then look at Margaret Lant and you'll find Joel Martin and you'll see the show with Andy Long. You can listen live and you can call in and ask your good questions. That's where you can only send person to call in and ask your questions. Other than that, you can write a question and say, family will answer and you can answer. So, is there something you'd like me to tell us today? Is there a reading you want to do today?
Well, actually, I want to take credit for the fact that you answered the phone, and I believe I told you that one enough, because it's kind of amazing the way the spirit world is. If you go with the flow, I mean, you cannot resist things in your life. I found that that's an important message from them. Meaning, if doors are open for you, go with them. If they appear closed, it is a guidance from your divine team. So when I looked at your website, Margaret, and I couldn't find a way to contact you, and then there was a phone number. And I was completely thrown off because I thought we'd be either an answering machine or as you say, receptionist would have sent any answers. And then they calmed down and they told me it was by design and they told me actually that, you know, the message that they gave me in the reading was actually all by design. So it's quite incredible how they came to you on.
I think I answered that phone maybe 2 times a week.
I know. That's what they were saying, that it was going to call, and that's what I mean, just go with the flow. Because feelings are guidance. And when you have that, I don't know, I wonder why I think about this gosh, and I call it, yes, this is how they do it, this is how they go to us. Because it's the same thing, of course, go for negative feeling. If you have any negative feeling about someone or someplace or job or whatnot, then this is by design, that's how they go to us.
So they want to get to move forward,
you mean to receive your ex-husband messages?
Oh.
Yeah, he was quite anxious actually. It's like the love, of course, never dies. It's something, it's magnitude, so billion times stronger. And he was quite anxious. So when I called, they told me that this is bigger than the radio show. And then now I know why. So there's all kind of, yeah, I guess it was just, and funny that my husband was there and he almost got a heart attack that he was still around.
Oh, what did he say?
Oh, he just couldn't believe. He said, are you going to call? No, I was going to be there. And I said, this is just the guidance I'm getting, so I'm just going to call. And when you called, I lost my world because I didn't expect you to answer the phone. So this is quite magical,
right here
on the widest of the energy.
That is true. The three times I answered that, and probably only three times, they said, Clay, I want to do the message. And then when Clay was explaining, I want to go out, you know, how even that phone, we get so many messages. If we answered that phone all day, we'd go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hired a girl to put the message on. Now, I don't even know. When I heard it one day, it sounded a little bit like a hey, like a voice. Okay, we're telling we're too busy to learn production because we are. You know, we're doing TV shows all the time, we do radio shows and stuff. So if we took every phone call, we'd never be able to work
the house.
And so then, you know, there's somebody who goes to them and they tell us which one is important or whatever. So I had no idea. I said, hey, I was really busy when you called. I had somebody here, remember?
I know.
In the office, I was like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking, and I could tell.
That's
this is it.
I somehow knew that I'm not going to wait long because that was only last week. So they also told me to get me right away because there's some bigger. The point is that you have been getting the message across. Once you have getting the message across, the magic is standing on you as well, so to speak.
Well, you know, there's so many people right now, especially with this horrible war, and you know, all the people being angry and going postal and all the deaths that are occurring, and just get a death in the mind. So now we have a new movie moving in, and you know, there's two little boys, and he'll play with my little boy. They can probably hurt for the whole time. She's excited and stuff. The oldest in charity, and I saw her. Oh, I think I saw her in private. So I went over the side of the party, and she said, because I'm here this weekend. I don't know how that goes, because, well, but the brother-in-law was moving the woman in with her children. So we have to go. They thought maybe the husband was working. So he looked at me and said, hi, I'm the brother-in-law. And he said, my brother, who they had met the week before, isn't going to be moving in after all. And because the little boys were asking, well, you have a daddy, you have a daddy, you don't have a daddy anymore. So they said, well, what happened? What happened is that he, you know, got his country for work. Everybody's going into work for work, right? He was in an accident. He said, oh, did he, was falling in his car accident? He didn't hurt himself.
Oh.
So this is the kind of thing that I just thought I spoke to, so I was like, whoa. And it just seems like it's a typical conversation. Things should be so drastic if you think about it for days, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a common conversation.
Oh, dear.
It truly is.
I thought I wanted to talk about the departed loved ones because I tell people they are not gone. I mean, that doesn't mean, Margot, that if you come to a reading, it's like when I connect with you with them, that doesn't mean you don't miss him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it does, because we miss the physical body and the tone of voice, and it's awful. But in readings, when I do the reading, they're just right there by the right of the people, and they're very upset if we hang on to the grief, because it's kind of in a way make them suck a little bit. They want nothing more to see us happy and moving on.
My husband died of mental death. This man killed himself. So what happens to the people? Because there's a lot of suicides going on with the mental world right now. There's a lot of, you know, death and war. What happens to the ones who killed themselves?
That's an excellent question, and so important. One group of people to Judaism, for example, because I'm not familiar about the Christianity when it comes
to that. Well, Christianity is a long way to come back, which I think is an easy thing to say.
Sure it is. Judaism actually believes that they're being, I don't know if the word punished, but they are being buried outside of the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know what, Margaret? The love that people that kill themselves get so much from the guides and healing angels once they cross over, because the soul that kills themselves is able to project that if they would have not done it, things would have been okay. Because things essentially are okay. They might be up and down just because of the nature of the physical world, but things would essentially turn to be okay. So when they cross over, they come to a meeting very regretful. So they don't need any punishment. They punish themselves enough.
Do they see the heartbreak they left behind from the parents and the father and the children and the wine?
Oh, absolutely heartbreaking. But I tell people that they actually get, it's funny that the spirituals call it an R&R. They take them away to a familiar area, say, to say, like, to be around ocean, so they just, and they just kind of hear them and explain to them what went wrong, and so there's a lot of love from the spiritual. There are certain guys that that's all they do. They kind of rush over to solve the grievances, and as time goes by, they explain to them what they did wrong, of course, they will be the ones, but there is no punishment.
No, no, because a lot of mediums can go, don't so hard to allow people to come through. However, I have seen them come through to work with them, with really good meetings, who are being sanctioned. So there's a lot of fake meetings out there, people remember that. Charging a fortune money, it's too good to get rich and things. But that's just bad for them, they're criminal, and that's why we make sure we get together. And we put the, we all put the real ones on the show. But, you know, people, I've seen so many parents and husbands and wives, oh, kids are suffering, think they're never going to see their, you know, love on the team because they're going to hell and meetings are all they can come through. They're going to have to sleep for many, many years and you'll be dead by the time they wake up and I'm like mortified for them. And then there's real kind, really good, sincere meetings who say, well, they're right here and they're saying, the minute they did it, they were fine. The minute they did it, the second they did it, they were saved by the
phone. Actually, 2 weeks ago, I had a girl that worked her mom, and funny night, I don't know why, but she came through and told me to tell the daughter how many pills she took. So sometimes readings, I don't know why, but she kept saying, I took 32 pills, 32 pills, I don't know why, but she said I had a hard time at the beginning, and unfortunately she tried and jumped back into the body. Because a lot of time, you know, in the last few seconds of their life, people feel, if I can just run away from the truth, but I'll be back. And then they realize, of course they come back. Of course they come back. There's no only, the only difference between a natural death, which is accident, which is designed by the soul, or one that cut their life short, is that they have perhaps more work to do. More work because we do whatever they were prepared for something. Once they're ready, they go through the same incarnation as everyone else. They're probably going to come back and try to redo those same mistakes.
Absolutely, you know, is in a class or is there an accent that you're so
afraid of? Everything is by design of the soul. I know it's a very difficult concept to accept.
No, no, this, I think, oh, it's all right, it's a family car accident and you want to die.
Yes.
That was designed, is it about the spawn suicide?
Yes, it could be two things. It could be you designed it pre-planned before you come here. Of course, it is, you know where you're going to be raised, how you're going to be look. I mean, it's very, very detail-oriented. We're doing it with our guys in between life.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it is we need to learn. So if you need to accept yourself, then you're going to be belong to a certain family. I mean, everything is... And you design your exit, the way you're going to die. Some people choose to die from a rare disease because maybe then they're going to find a cure for it. There's always a reason. However, sometimes there is a karmic debt that we need to pay. So you never know why. That's why, unfortunately, there are no why. Why is a 2-year-old dying? Why such a tragedy? We don't know. We're going to know, the parents are going to know when we cross over. Then, of course, the whole picture reveals to us. But it's all very organized and very fair. It's just the way the creator makes the plan is fair and organized.
So to say, so for example, 2 years ago, I lost my baby brother. He died of cancer. I thought, so unfair. He didn't even lost 49. And he took on a body with a very depressed. He knew he didn't know depressed. He knew he was depressed. He wasn't depressed. Well, first, cancer starts one day and the first day. it's really bad. The day before, and this happened was the year before, she said, Mark, what's the day? I said, I don't know, it's going to be because it's my birthday. She said, only if it's right, next year, I won't forget. But guess what? There was no next year.
Oh, dear.
And that haunts me, you know?
I know, honey. But again, Margie, just know that it's no big luck.
No, no, it's not that. That's why I thought to myself, here's a young man folding my bag before I was going to. He planned that, is it?
Yes, he did plan to exit the way he did. There is many reasons. It could be a karmic death.
Mm-hmm.
His life needed to end that time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, usually that's not the case, but sometimes the soul know that it's done with this learning.
Mm-hmm.
It does know either the person refused to progress spiritually, so the soul will exit. So it's not, that's why people survive. I understand that. Well, they said, I don't know, but I know it's not clinical, mm-hmm. It's not something you need. Especially it's important to tell people, if I only prolong the machine, if I only know, it's the soul with its own path.
Only after this, Nikki. They always say, don't you hear that saying, only the good die young? I've seen a lot of terrible evil people live very, very long.
I know. I know. The Creator did an unbelievable affair program. I'm telling you, Margaret.
But
we see that they live, you don't know what's going to happen their next life, you don't know how they live. To live until 90 and you are a miserable man making misery to everyone else, then don't live till 90.
That's what I said to someone once as well. She's still alive, he's still alive, he's got nothing to hold up in his feet. And I said, but you know what? Everything they planned didn't come true. And so they have to sit and watch everything they planned and schemed for fall through their fingers.
Absolutely, absolutely. You do nothing in a physical year. It's what you live, what your quality of life. And again, we each go by a soul evolution, so it's not for us to judge. Another thing important for me to mention when I talk to people is to try our best and accept all human beings. I know that we're very difficult sometimes, all of us,
mm-hmm.
You know, but it's extremely important to remember that underneath the seemingly different bodies, we are all one. I know the concept of people, what does that mean? I keep hearing it. I know it's hard to say. We are God's creation. We all belong to that one incredibly powerful, right energy. We just come here, pick up a name, pick up a body, pick up a certain life circumstances. So when someone like you mad or you just can't stand the law, of course, if you think of harming them, please think about the soul that you have and know that they simply did not make it. They just failed to grow. So I always teach people to just try not to be judgmental of others. It took me many years, truly many years, this is the truth. But the more I do that work, the more I see how we are all the same. We're running around trying to look like our own, which is of course a spiritual.
But you said we're in the game, you said we're all empty and lonely. That's a pretty good statement, it's a pretty accurate one. Why have we become so empty and so lonely? Everyone I know becomes.
Isn't that amazing? Unfortunately, the psyche of human beings is kind of negative right now.
Uh-huh.
So you know those days you wake up and you say, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
I wasn't a medium. You know, you just don't know. You just don't know. You try to figure out what's wrong like that. This energy, this energy.
Uh-huh.
It expands the energy of the overall human being psyche, unfortunately. So what people like myself and other light workers, the spiritual life to hold it, we try to keep over the soul by, of course, spreading the message of the love of the spiritual, the non-judgment of one another. And I truly believe, I hope, that this soul will keep the positivity, or else we are going, you know, good.
Have you tried it? You better watch it. We'll stay here tonight, too.
Yeah, they do. But of course, the spirit world is extremely gentle, very, very loving. But if you find a medium that has harsh words from the spirit world, please be suspicious, because they're very loving. They always they can be strong. If in a reading they need the person to change, they be strong, but it's always they don't tell us any better things, but absolutely, we must move forward towards positivity.
What are the spirit world people, all these people who are just becoming celebrity readings and stuff, because they're supposed to become, we called it a gift for a reason. We didn't call it famous. You know, it's called a gift. And I always had this thing, you abuse it, you lose it.
Absolutely, because you let your ego get in the way.
Wow.
Once the ego is the one main major thing you must get rid of if you want to become spiritual. Of course, the ego comes in and out, if I'm talking about my life, but I would not let it dominate for long, the negative mind. I would always get rid of it and get centered again to the energy, which is the soul. For those people with power, they gain a little bit of power and they let their ego stand in the way. And I think it's the coolest thing you can do is really tell people that you want to transform their life, but do it for nothing.
I have a really hard time when I go off stage and I see, I don't just know the name of the person, Sylvia Brown, John Edwards. They're not supposed to be in Las Vegas. And I'm sorry, they're just not people. I mean, you want to think you're fine, just knock yourself out, but they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my job, you know.
Yeah.
People call me the psychic cop.
I told you why they got us together.
Well, I don't like that. I mean, certainly, I don't like the people have to pay so much money to get excited.
Yeah, that's absurd. This is truly absurd, because I remember Clayton and me were looking around, and I was telling Clayton, you're supposed to reach for everyone. The middle people, middle class don't have that amount of money.
No.
So I was very impressed, Margaret, when you asked me how much you got. Because I liked the straightforward, and you came across very authentic. Because funny enough, that was one of my main things, is to be reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, to charge two, three, some people charge $500.
And higher, and you know, people pay because they're desperate. And you know, I'm not saying that spiritual means down or means poverty. Spiritual people who, there's a lot of energy to do, they should get paid indeed. Because, you know, synagogue doesn't get paid and priests get paid, you know, they do a lot and they do collections. So when you're doing this, you can't always, you know, just keep giving it out for free. That's why we do the free system, because we can give them as much as we can.
Yeah.
But when they want to have a private room, you have to exchange energies and money's energy. But outrageous prices and then being headliners in Vegas, it's more than I can take.
Also, I actually liked that you wanted to test me. I felt very honored because I liked it very much, and I said, please, I
want to. Yeah, you did. You asked me to help you right now because I feel like if I put this to anybody else, could you tell them to name it on here? That's my karma. Because then I call the million people. Because if we get thousands of books and thousands of people asking us for this world and how do we get to this and that, and we should tell this. That's no good in your answer form. But yes, you can't imagine the psychics and the mediums and the books I get a week. I get 200 books a week.
Is that funny? You answer my phone?
Yeah, I can't stand it. And today, so we don't donate the books, or we tell a book to the publisher not to send anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe a book is worth a dollar either.
Yeah.
You know, the books that were written a long time ago, I mean, Luke Montgomery, Paul Martin, my partner,
yeah.
Those books are valuable. They say something. The rest of them are just, me, I just do this.
Of course, it's important for us to mention that there are a lot of authentic, wonderful medium
types. And that's what I was just saying, but they don't come out because they're afraid, because these people become superstars. And when you're the superstar, it's like a Ralph Lauren shirt. Everybody wants to own a polo shirt.
Yeah.
They don't want just a regular shirt. Well, now maybe it's economy, but you know, people want just like the baby, or they want the BMW, they want the little Ford car. Yeah. Well, the same thing, they want the big Mercedes or medium.
And for a lot of years, what made me a little bit kind of intimidated is that if you read the bio of all the big, really big medium they looked at spirits when they were 5 years old.
Oh, they did not.
And I didn't. So I know I'm not doing it really. So for many years, it took me to. For them,
the
convention, you don't have to see spirits in your eyes.
Oh, they did not. I know a lot of them. I knew many of them before they were famous, and some of them they did not. And that's what makes me nuts. And most of those books are fake. And someone needs to tell it, because if the people don't learn the truth, you know, I always believe the truth is set you free. And if I have to tell it, then I'll be able to.
And I can tell you, Margaret, how many people tell me, did you go with it? I said, no, I'm 45, and it came when I was 32. So I'm meant to learn, actually, I believe I'm better medium, because I've been through the divorce and spark in my life, and up and down, and how I childhood, and so I'm be able to relate more to the people, to people.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you've lived a good life, that's why I said, I knew you were young. You didn't want to be known, but you have to do what your country says, and it will still love you anyway. Because, you know, one man says, oh, the fact that these boys are in the army, they're never going to know. When they die, they're not going to be able to come across. And I said, what? I said, you can look at somebody's face and you he said, well, don't do well, make them look gone. Well, you see, the things they say because they have big books and big names, they just start to set this on the family to see. That girl, you know me.
Yeah, that's actually disrespectful to the spirit world. It's so opposite to the truth.
And so that's why most of the disrespect is spiritual. So that's why I learned you to come on and start telling me about what the spiritual world is like, because your life has broken. You have been, you know, you weren't always, you weren't born. Your mama didn't tell you you were going to be a star like one of them did. And the other one didn't, you don't have a star over your crown before like another one did. Now, Twitty Anderson, John Martin, I used to test him years ago. He was brilliant. And he used to always play the same song, you know. Now we haven't seen him in several years. He was 15 years.
Oh, no, so do I. I never seen him anymore.
Well, you know, maybe that's because, you know, you get too big for the business. I grew up in the middle. But there was never a mark on the evening. He was brilliant. And for all the things I saw him do, I will always be grateful. I mean, those people, what he did was just, I'm grateful that I got to see it and got to believe it through him. And my senior Tom Hutton took me there. And he used to charge $20 at the door.
Oh.
And he made a fortune doing that.
Oh.
But I mean, a fortune means enough to live beautifully. And someone told him, hey, you could be a star. You could charge $12,000.
I actually want to stay humble and I enjoy doing the readings one by one. I mean, I do, Margaret.
It's like an artist.
You should see people's faces when they get in and they leave and they're all around this better and it's just a
wonderful thing. That's why it's called a gift. And you know, but, you know, I still say it's going to be George, but, you know, someone got a hold of him and said, hey, you could be a star. And if someone can hold some of these people and say, hey, you can be a star, I know them all, believe in me, I know most of them. Yeah. And they call here, and, you know, weekend documentaries on some and others I choose not to. And they know I'm going to say this stuff because people need to now find the people like you who are out there, who do a really great job, who they can afford, who they can go and talk to their, you know, children who, or their husbands and wives who've gone over to war or had accidents or had suicides. There are a lot of people out there who need help, but they can't afford it.
Oh.
And they can't find them. And so we have to put them on here because there's a nation fund in the top, you know, five in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
let me tell you how I appreciate it. I was so happy on coming on. And my soul team is just, we were happy together, me and my team. We were just excited because I know that, you know, the listeners and. That I know that even people that they like, oh, I'm not sure it's the truth, the seed is planted, and now their guys going to help them, and they so.
If they can call you and feel at peace, don't mind me, it's all about the same. Believe it, don't believe it. But you know, they say, who's going to be said in life after death? And my answer is, whoever's going to die. And whoever's going to have someone die. That's who's going to sit in. And you don't think you're interested until it happens to you. And that's going to happen over and over again. arrogant to little people, and then all of a sudden the children are tired of asking or something, and then they'll give you everything and anything to talk to that child or that husband or whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, they need it. And if so, it's available to them, so what we're trying to do is make it available to people, but not only available, but important or something that will help get through the day, because it's hard enough right now to get through this planet. It's really hard to get through the day right now. Don't you think?
It's very hard, Margaret. People are lonely, very difficult in the money. And another thing that, you know, it's funny how my team told me that they said I'm worried about the money. And they told me, Nikki, you look at it as a play. You're an actor in a play. And you know when you go through life and it's all planning. And the money goes up and down, but we always say, you always, no matter what. Now, it's a hard concept when you have no money or you worry or, you know, you stress or whatever. But it's true, Margaret. They're watching over us. We just have to relax. We have to surrender. We have to know and believe in that crew. And we have to just go with the flow. They're right there. They're watching over us. They will, however, want to interfere if our actions are chosen to be negative. Unfortunately, to take us away from our journey. So, it's quite amazing. The spirit world is just lovely, Margaret.
What about the people who are homeless and living in tents? And all these people lost their homes and lost their careers and lost everything. They are seeing very godlike or very spiritual. And we're trying to reach them. We go out and try and reach them. What are you just saying about bringing them back? Or why are they going to this? Is this karma?
It's lessons. It's lessons in growth. I know it's difficult for people to understand. I have lost myself. It's lessons. It's growth. It's the soul needed something drastic. Could be one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Other reason can be simply bad mistakes. I know I made some bad mistakes, and therefore my company was 18 years failure. So that was a mistake, but I learned. Then I studied, then I examined it, then I knew what I was wrong, what I did wrong. I trusted, I hired wrong people, whatever. I should have stayed more hard. So learn. Everything that you go through is by design. The only sole purpose, that the only purpose that we are here is for the soul to grow spiritually. So all our up and down and challenges and difficulties and even a loss, unfortunately, is for us to learn. Of course, when you're depressed, you don't want to hear about that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, again, the spiritual truth. It's all for us to learn and grow. And funny enough, when I see people cross over, the people that gave them the hardest time are their closest souls, meaning they're in their soul group. That's how funny it is. So one that gave you hard time and divorce, and when you cross over, you realize that you are soulmates. It was by design to give each other those hard times, to learn, or perhaps maybe just balance the karmic steps from other life. But it's all about the growth. If the soul don't grow, you will exit the physical life and try again.
Really?
So, yeah.
Is that why we're having so many people leave the planet right now?
Yeah. Soul's heavy enough. It's either too difficult or either drifted away too much from the original journey. So the soul just kind of exit. And then, of course, they would come again. But again, it's not for us to know why.
Yeah.
People in the reading, can you ask them why? Readings are very tricky because they will guide you toward the right direction, but they will not tell you, why don't you get up Monday morning and call ABC? They would not do that. It's so hard for people because they give so many other details, but I'm sorry, I just simply don't get an answer. They're very protective of us, meaning of our growth, because that's all that matters. Of course, if you don't eat right, of course, if you have a bad habit, if you drink, if you have it, then of course, they will tell you straight out, you better spend of your life. But when it comes to decisions, and I choose this one or that one, then it's for you to decide. Because along with the decision comes the consequences.
They were the leading choices the other day.
They did not give me. It's
Actually,
because I just started music at that time, at one time, and it's growing my voice. I mean, you know, I, of course, I want to come to a point where I have reading every hour. I just want to reach as many people as I can. And I just, you know, I'm driving as much, you know, coast to coast. I try to reach them.
Yeah, no, coast to coast. Come
on. Yeah, they didn't call me back.
Yeah, you know, I found out, you know.
I just let my team guide me, and I know they take me, and every time a little magic happens, like what happened between us when you answer the phone, and they just follow our lead, and it's amazing how they explain it. They call us a team. They cannot do it without me, and I cannot do it without them. I'm their voice, and of course they're the ones that give me the reason. Nothing is mine. It's all theirs. I don't take any credit for it. So we walk together, and they tell me just say yes to everything. Whoever we bring you, say yes.
Well, then you'll be saying yes to, what you'll be saying yes to Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, people, if you want to call Nikki, then you can call her on, I think, her blogtalkradio.com. Look up Mother Anthony, Paul Martin, and call in. You can call in and you can talk to her, you can ask some questions, or if you ask some questions, Bill Martin is the best selling author, as anyone knows, he's very different. He writes all about We Don't Die, Love Beyond Life, Beyond Death, We're Not Forgotten. You know Bill Martin.
Yes,
I do. So, if you join our Wednesday, you can join us. And, Nikki, again, where can they reach you and ask you questions? And then you can email them to me. I will ask them, and then you will have a question. And if they listen, you will tell them, for example, if Sarah Jones sends you a question, you will tell Jones next week, will be answering your question. You will be doing the reading. And that way you can just read up and call and interrupt them. On Blog Talk, they can talk to you. But on this site, this is a different.
That's wonderful. And of course, my website has the email, and then has the phone. And I don't like when people think I'm busy, and I tell people, this is my dharma. This is what I'm meant to do. There is no busy. I will find the time, and I will call back, and I will email back. Because people kind of tend to be shy.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, please feel free to call me. This is what I do. I'm honored to do that. That is what I do. So I always like to say it out loud.
Okay, your phone number, Janice?
951-249-4695.
And www.nickyjacobs.com.
Yes, please.
Okay, and so any questions, just don't call. You can call me message right before you write it on your email. Just write a question, and we'll send them off to Nikki, and we'll see about getting Nikki on weekly and answering your questions.
Oh.
Alright, so I think that's going to be enough for them. If they want to give us something, do they want to give us a message before we say goodbye today?
Actually, the biggest word that I see in front of my eyes is love from the spirit world. So that each single person that listens, their God, their team, send them love. And they should feel it, either by goosebumps or the energy would be. Everyone would have a nice and calm evening.
Oh, good. That's a good one. All right. Okay, good. Thank you. And we'll be talking to you soon. Okay. Hold on. And then I'm talking to you. Okay. Good night, everybody. Hold on, Nikki.
Okay.